We are holding on Ein Dollar on an Aleph top line. We've been discussing, still in the middle of our Mishnah had talked about the case where you shecht a mother animal and you have a baby in there where it stuck out its hand, it stuck out a limb, whatever we said. If the limb is cut off after the shechta, then we said it touched the rest of the body of the unborn baby and also the mother, therefore they have some kind of trauma, and what the degree of trauma was, we were discussing. Reb Meir says it's the degree of trauma, it has the trauma of Nevela, and the Chachamim say it has the trauma, only the Rabbanan, of Trefa Shlota. So then we digress a little bit to talk about the related topic of Avraham Duldal. Forget about a pregnant animal. When you have an animal itself, when you have an animal itself that has a limb that's not completely attached to the body anymore, where that limb, therefore, is not living off the body anymore, it's not completely detached, but it's detached enough that it's not going to be able to regenerate, it's not going to be able to heal. So what happens to that when you shech the animal? So we were discussing the concept called misa oisin nipple v'en shechita oisin nipple, that if the animal had died without shechita, then we would say that limb is considered then as if it fell off before the animal died, therefore it's not considered a nevela, it's only considered ev menachai, which has implications, among other things, as far as whether a piece taken off that, which is only flesh without gidim v'asamos, will be metame or not. If it's nevela, yes. If it's evim and achai, no. On the other hand, we said shchita does not make nipple the piece would actually be, the piece is still considered, the limb is still considered attached to the body of the animal when you shecht it, and therefore so you're not allowed to eat it, granted, but the trauma of nevela goes away from it. And the last thing we said about that was that actually it may even be that we said that actually there's only a mitzvah proish on it, which means according to Rashi and Tosfos, it means it's only midrabanan that Avraham Duldal was also midaraisa, you'd even be able to eat it after the shechita. And according to the Rambam, it means that it is also daraisa, but it's a different kind of daraisa because it doesn't say as explicitly. So therefore, there wouldn't be malchus for it.
Even if it's dangling, but it died before the shechita.
Yeah, that's you mean if the limb died before the shechita? Yeah. It doesn't make a difference. Well, you can have it. If it's almost cut off from the animal, then it's not, there's no blood circulating in it or whatever.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, you can't eat it. That's the point.
I'm sorry.
You can't eat it. According to Rashi and Tosfos, you could daraisa, you just can't darabanan. According to the Rambam, either way, it's daraisa, but to eat it, a person wouldn't be high, he'd be over on an Issa, but he wouldn't be high of Malchus, whereas if it had actually fallen off and been Avraham and high, then he would actually get Malchus.
So the halacha is like...
Either way, it's also to eat. Whether there's Malchus for it is a moot point nowadays, because they're not based in that there's Malchus. Okay. So the Gemara says...
Do a right, sir.
Yeah, that's the thing. According to the Rambam, it's also to a right, sir. According to Rashi and Tosfos,
it's not.
It's not. But that doesn't really make a difference. Okay. Onward. Yosef Rav Yosef Kamei de Rav Huna. So Rav Yosef one time is sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Huna. The Yosef Bekama, he was sitting and saying a statement as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Ochloi lo zeh loike. If you were to eat it, this, meaning the Pashtos, the Avraham Adodol that we've been talking about, then you would get Malchus for it. So one of the other Chachamim in the Yeshiva says, Loite Tisule, don't listen to what Rabbi Yosef is saying, that Rabbi Yehuda had said this in the name of Rab. As we said in the Gemara before, that Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Maruta said in the name of Rab, that if you eat this piece, that if you eat this limb that was dangling, you don't get malchus. So we have two different reports of what Rav is saying. So Hahumei Rabbanan is saying, don't listen to Rabbi Yosef's report, the other report is correct. So Rav Huna says now, okay, well, I'm not nismich. Well, then who are we supposed to rely on? Rav Yosef, you're telling us one version. You have Hahumei Rabbanan is telling us that Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Maruta said a different version. What is it? Ahadrinu Rav Yosef la'afe. Rav Yosef turned his face around in anger, in upset. Amalei, because he says, what are you even asking? What are you thinking? There's a stira. And why was this Hahumei Rabbanan saying, don't listen to me? My kushya, why do you consider that there's a contradiction, that there should be a question? There's a difference. Ki amri anra b'misa d'oisa nipple. I'm talking about the case where the animal died without shechita, where then we said misa oisa nipple, so therefore it's considered Avraham Achai, because it fell off while the animal was alive. So yes, there'd be Malkus for that. Ki Omar Ihu, when he, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Malka, said that Rav says you don't get Malkus, he's talking about the Shechita, where the animal was shechted, which we just said, that Eino Oysa Nipple. So fine, that's the, in other words, no, Rabbi Yosef is explaining that you should know that in the case of, that, that's the point. In other words, to clarify this point, that Shechita is different than Misa, that Misa is not Oysa Nipple. Right, we knew it before from our Gemara, but we were discussing it. We were discussing it a bit before. We had Rabbi Yochanan and said it. Now we're bringing it in to the Bais Medrash. Rabbi Yosef is bringing it in and making that statement. So, yeah. So there's a difference between Misa and Shechita.
Who made the difference before?
Before we started, we said before in the Sogya that Rabbi Yochanan had mentioned that distinction in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So fine, that doesn't mean necessarily that everybody knew it yet. So now Rabbi Yosef comes and tells in the Bais Medrash that you should know there's a case.
In the name of who?
Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef had said in the name of Rabbi Yosef.
Initially, but now.
Initially. Now we said Rabbi Yosef is saying that Rav said that you get Malkus. And then we said, on the other hand, we had a report that Rav said you don't get Malkus. So the answer is one, it's two different cases, right? Fine. Okay. Where, in fact, do we get this distinction between whether the animal dies without shchita versus when it dies with shchita? Namely, that when, as we said, when it dies without shchita, then there's nipple. Then we consider that the limb fell off while it was alive, so it's considered eiv menachai. Versus that if you shechted it, it's still considered attached to the extent that it doesn't have the tumma of nevela or eiv menachai. Where do we get that from? So like this. Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk in Shmini that says like this. It says anything that one of them, and we'll see soon what the them refers to, in context it refers to the Shrasim, to the Shemona Shrasim, anything that one of them falls on it, when it's dead, Yitma, then that thing becomes Tomei. In other words, the simple meaning of the pasuk is that if a dead Sheret falls on something, it makes it Tomei, which of course is the case, because a Sheret is an Avatom. But the question is, anything that one of them, when it's dead, falls on, becomes tummy. So the question is, why do we need the word b'moisam? As opposed to what? Do you mean when they're dead as opposed to when they're alive? Which, of course, is true. A live sheriff is not metame. However, we don't need that. I mean, you've lost them now. They are in the psukim over there. It says in the psukim over there that if some of their nevela falls on food or what have you, then it becomes tummy. Nevela means that it's dead. So you don't need another pasuk that says b'moisam.
Yes.
So there we see, therefore, what it means is b'moisam, in other words, kola sheyipol mehem b'moisam means we understand the pasuk to also be saying that when it happens, that b'moisam, that they die, at that point, you have yipol mehem. At that point, you have that if there was a limb on them that was loose, then it's considered as if it fell off. Anything that there falls on it from them when they died, in other words, what we mean is when the creature dies, then you have anything that's falling off of them is considered as if it fell off, namely this Abraham Adolfo. So anything that was loose and then fell off after the animal died, b'moisam, when it dies, is considered as though it fell off before, yipol, that it already fell off.
So it just said k'moisam.
B'moisam, when they die, at the point of b'moisam is asher yipol, it's considered that it fell off. So that's where we learn that, mita oisa nipple. And that's, by the way, why we've been using the term nipple throughout this whole sugya. Nipple means falling off. Why didn't we say mita oisa evim anachai or whatever? Because we're using the expression of the pasuk over here that says that's a yipol. Okay, omer le rav adar ba'avel
rav. So you have to read it,
b'chol asher yipol olav. B'chol asher yipol olav. Maybe we're not dashing in the word olav, I don't know. Anything that falls, mehem, from them, b'moisam, when is it considered? That it fell off, b'moisam, at the moment when they died. Then it's considered that it fell off right before they died. So Yitma, and therefore that thing is metame.
So you read it, b'chol asher
yipol
olav.
Mehem.
B'moisam,
yeah, that's what we're doing.
So we don't
I don't know if we touch the word olav, maybe not. Okay. What are you telling me that this pasuk has anything to do with kosher animals that are shechted versus died without shechta? This pasuk is talking about shrotim.
Yeah, that's my question.
Yes, but since we don't need the pasuk to be referring to shrotim, the lav neshchitin, you know, because shrotim doesn't make a difference whether you shecht them or not, doesn't matter. There's no distinction with shrotim between b'moisam or when they're shechted, because regardless how they're, you don't shecht shrotim, right? Therefore, tneu inyan l'behema. So therefore, we have the general rule, inyan inyan l'zeh, tneu inyan l'zeh. Good, so we use it for a related purpose, namely the case of a kosher animal where there is that distinction between shchita and moisam. Okay, so the question is...
What is the meaning of the pasuk?
So the meaning of the pasuk is... So in other words, in context, the pasuk is talking about shrotim, but we're taking it out of that context and explaining that it means that a kosher animal, that an animal of a kosher species, that the moisam, that it died and it had a limb that was loose on it, then yifoil, let's consider that fell off, that it fell off before it died, and therefore it's not nevela. Okay.
So the pasuk has no pshat, basically.
The pshat of the pasuk is... In context, it's referring to the shrotim, but out of context,
we're learning nothing new in context.
Okay, not every pasuk is necessarily teaching us a halacha. That's already when you're learning halachas from Pesukim, it's not necessarily always pshat. It's drush, whatever. Anyway, the point is. Because something like this, for example, when we have in Einyan Inyan Lozeh, given that we don't need it to teach us about the basic concept of Trumas Sheret, then therefore we understand that there's no extra pasuk in the Torah.
Arbitrarily say, like, okay, like, I know this means this, but...
No, it wouldn't be arbitrary. No, of course not. It's all based on Kabbalah if they have from their teachers. So the question is, nevertheless, though, don't we need this pasuk to teach us a don't we need this pasuk, and particularly the word b'moisam in it, to teach us a different concept? Vakati means nevertheless, yes, still. Miboilei, we still need this pasuk to teach us a different din, namely ke'ein misa, that in order for a sheret to be metame, it has to be similar to the condition that it was in when it died, namely lachem metame miveshim metamim, namely that a piece of a sheret is metame only if it's still fresh, not if it's dried, because then it's not like the way it was when it died anymore. By the way, dry for this purpose means that if you were to soak it in water for 24 hours and it still doesn't freshen up again, then it's considered dry. Anyway, the point is there reaches a point when a piece of sheretz is dry enough that it won't be metame, and we learn that from this pasuk b'moisam. So what are you telling me that we're learning from this mitzah is a nipple? The answer is today b'moisam, Stevie. Sure, but in the pesukim over there you have twice like b'moisam. Two pesukim, back to back. Both of them are about shrotim. So one of them teaches us this concept that the piece of the sheret has to be fresh to be metame. And the other one teaches us what we just said about mitzah is that we're taking it out of context and using it for mitzah is a nipple. Okay. Fine. So now we've established that there is that distinction between whether an animal is shechted versus when it dies. Okay, so now to return to the machloikas of Rav Meir and the Chachamim in our Mishnah about the limb of the Uber. So Amr of Chis, the machloikas be'ever de Uber, the whole machloikas in our Mishnah is about the limb of the unborn baby that's stuck out of the womb, whether it's metame the rest of it as nevela or only as tirei pashchota. But suppose the baby died in the womb, before the mother was shechted. Then divrei hakol shchita oisa nipul. Then says Rav Chista, everybody would agree that the shchita makes that limb be considered as though it fell off while the uber was still alive. And therefore, in other words, that it will have the status of Eivum and Achai, and therefore it will be metame to that extent, not like the Chachamim said, like tirei pashchota. Because they're talking about when the baby is alive, you return and Rav Chista is saying if the baby is dead, then that's different. Rabbi says no, they have the same machloikas in either case, whether the baby is alive in the womb, whether it's dead. Either way, we would say that Rav Meir is saying that the shchita of the mother is not effective for this limb. Really, we're using over here shchita oisa nipple in a slightly different sense than we were just now. Shchita oisa nipple, till now, we've been talking about the issue of whether the Avram Duldo, the loose limb on the behema itself, is considered attached or not. Here we're using it in like a transferred sense. Here we're talking not an Avram Duldo. We're back to the Aver of the...
Talking about
no, now we're back to talking about the limb of the baby. Now we're talking about the limb of the baby again.
Sticking out.
So it's not exactly the same case. It's Chitta, Ois, and Nipple, and Mista, Ois, and Nipple that we were talking about. So we're using Ois and Nipple and Ois and Nipple in a sort of a transferred sense. If the baby is dead, then Rav Chista says both Rav Meir and the Chachamim would agree that that limb is considered as though it got detached before the Shchita of the mother. Therefore, it's Eivim and Achai. Therefore, it's Eivim and Achai. It has pretty much the same tuma as Nevela. And therefore, that's it. So the mother's Shchita, is not taking away that tuma. And Rava says, no, the Machlokas is the same either way.
It's interesting that when the baby is dead, it's Eivim and Achai, the limb is living. When the baby is alive, it's considered, the limb is considered Nevela. It's just the opposite.
Well, no, I mean, because what we're saying is, because the difference is, when the baby is alive, it's called Yesh B'minoi Shchita. It's still considered. I mean, ultimately, this kind of creature could eventually be shechted. So therefore, the limb, therefore, according to Chachamim, says Rav Chista, would be the Shchita of the mother will be enough to have an effect on it. As opposed to if the baby is dead, yes, because the baby itself is dead, and therefore as an independent entity, it itself wouldn't even be able to be shechted. Therefore, its limb already has the din. No, it has the din of nevela. Rather, it has the din
after the baby dies.
Yeah, I mean, so it died in the womb with the limb sticking out. The same that limb is considered nevela. Shchita Ois and Nipple means that the Chachamim are saying that Shchita Ois and Nipple means we don't say that the Shchita of the mother has any effect on this limb. So therefore, that's what it is. In other words, so the limb will remain Nevela because the mother's shchita won't be able to help it because the baby is not even b'minei shchita. You can't even say that this baby, since it's dead, it's something that conceivably could have been shechted because it's dead.
And therefore the limb is nevela.
As opposed to if the uber is alive, then the chachamim will say that the shchita of the mother helps it, is metaharet, and Rameir says that not. Okay, so I misspoke then. Okay. And Rabbi says the same machlokas is either way, whether the baby is alive or dead, because it doesn't really depend on the status of the baby, it depends on the status of the mother.
Right.
Okay. Fine.
Halacha is obviously like the...
The halacha is like the chachamim anyway. Then we said in the Mishnah, Ben Shmoina Chai Bechola, we said at the end of the Mishnah, that if you have a baby that was born after an 8-month pregnancy, it was born premature, in other words, because large kosher animals, such as cattle, have 9-month pregnancies, like human beings, then we said, Ein Shchitasa Metaharet, then Shchita is not Metaharet, because an 8-month baby is not even the type of creature that could be shechted, because 8-month babies normally don't survive.
So it's trace.
So therefore, it's more than trace. Effectively, it's like the Nevela. So the question is, because it's not viable.
It is already in the Veda as soon as it's...
Well, in other words, that's the point. It's not really something that you can check. So one way or the other, it's going to die. Even if you check it, the Shchita doesn't really have...
But it's still alive.
Because what it is like this. In order for it to not be considered... Normally, it would be considered a natal. It would be considered a stillbirth. And therefore, you would have to wait until it's no longer considered that, which is when it's 7 days old. With human babies, when they're premature, you have to wait 30 days for them to be considered viable. With animals, you need only 7 days. So fine, once 7 days have passed, then fine, it's like any other animal. But before that, then it's considered as though it was born dead, even though it's right. Okay. So the question.
And
a human baby would be 30 days, right? So the question is, V'hatanya ben Shmona Chai Yechiyach, what about though we learn in a Braisa, a different way of arguing, that prove the case, again, Rameyer is trying to prove his point, that you find something that even though you shecht it, the shchita is not matahir it, and therefore, by the same logic, therefore, even though the baby does become tahor with his mother's shchita, it shouldn't work for the limb. So in the Braisa, the argument goes, ben shmona chayechiyach, prove from the case of an 8-month baby, that even though that type of thing is capable of being shechted, nevertheless the shechita doesn't take away the tumah from it. It remains. It still has tumah nameila. So what is it? Our Mishnah is because it's not viable. No, but the point is that the din is the same according to both of them. But our Mishnah is saying that she'ein b'mina shechita, that type of thing is not even of the category of things that are subject to shechita, and the Braita is calling it yesh b'mina shechita. So what is it? Is it ben shmona considered yesh or ain? Amar Rav Kahana, yesh b'mina shechita agav imay. Fine, what the Braita means is, in other words, an 8-month baby can't be shechted on its own, but what it means is, in other words, that if that baby was found in the womb when the mother was shechted, then you would be able to eat it. Premature, doesn't matter.
If
the mother was shechted, yeah. So that's what it means, yesh b'mina shechita. The Braita doesn't mean that the 8-month baby, if it was born, that you should be able to shecht it on its own. Sure, definitely not. All the Braita means is that nevertheless, the shechita of the mother, the shechita of the mother makes it mutter. Right. The Tana didan, mine de'ime lo parich. Whereas the Tana of our Mishnah disagrees with that premise because he says, that you can't consider that a real objection. If the baby itself, a ben shmona itself is not capable of being shechted, then you're not going to say, yeah, but it can become mutter through its mother's shechita. That's a whole different circumstance. Within or the Tana of our Mishnah. Okay, so the question is, Olahai Tana de Parish Trey for Shchitasim et Ha'aret. Olahai Tana de Parish. Okay, so according to the Tana of the Braita, who does hold... who asks this question, meaning that he holds that an 8-month baby can say that yesh b'mino shchita, that it is something that's capable of being shechted. So according to him, trefa de shchitasim et ha'aret aminole. How does he know that in general, when you shecht an animal that's trefa, that it loses its tumas nevela? Mele, in our Mishnah, what we're saying is that an 8-month baby, you know why it doesn't lose tumas nevela by the shchita, because ein b'mino shchita anyway. So it's the equivalent of shechting a horse. But if the Braita is taking the view that we can call it yesh b'mina shchita because it's able to become mutter through its mother's shchita, well then, according to him, how do you have any basis for saying that in general that a trefa, that an animal that's a trefa, that you should be able to, that if you shecht it, it takes away the it, you should be able to take away the trauma of it. Maybe we should say again, like a horse in that regard. The answer is Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. He learns it from what Rav Yehuda tells us in the name of Rav. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the Amri Lav Masnisa Tana. Others say that this is actually in a Braisa. So like this, Amakra v'chiyamus min habehema. The pasuk says if there dies from the animals, so the context of the pasuk is that if a kosher animal dies without shlita, then it's considered nevela and then it's metame. But the point of min habehema means mixtas behema matama or mixtas behema ena matama. Some kinds of animals are matama when they're shechted, some are not. The ezu zu trefa sheshachta. Namely, if you have a trefa that you shechted, the chiyomus min habehema. So in other words, you have an animal that died. In other words, you're not able to eat it. But within that, you have a distinction between the kind that you're not allowed to eat and the kind that you are, you have a distinction, neither of them are you allowed to eat, whether it had shchita or not, but you have a case where even though you're not allowed to eat it, it's not metame, because it says, min habehema, the ezu, zu trefa sheshachta. Namely, if you have a trefa that you shechted, that is excluded by the word min habehema, that one is not metame.
So it's not about eating, that you cannot.
That you can't, but the fact that it's not metame.
It's trefa, but one is metame, and one is not.
If it had died without shchita, it would be metame. If you shechted it, then yeah. So therefore, so the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't need that. He's learning it just based on the fact that any time you have something which is in a category that's subject to shchita, then automatically then shchita takes away the tumas nevela. So that's the thing. That's why he said the only ben shmona is different because the ben shmona is ein b'mina shchita. The Tana of the Braita who holds that who considers a ben shmona to be in the category of yesh b'mina shchita, he will have to use this kosef to learn that nevertheless a regular trefa does become mutter when you shechta. Boy, Rav Hoshea. So now Rav Hoshea asks in this connection, like this: Hoshea yodilim ebehema. Suppose that the shochet stuck his hand into the womb of the mother animal, the shochet ben pes chai. if the inside there is a baby that's already been growing there for a 9-month pregnancy and is ready to be born, just hasn't been born yet, and he reaches into the womb and shechts it while it's in the womb.
Shechts him?
Shechts it, the baby, while it's in the womb.
Right.
While it's in the womb.
Not the mother. Hold it by the... Like, it's not physically possible.
You have to hold it. No, because in principle, you have. The head is fairly close to the front. You could reach in. I mean, it's not like it has any place to move around. The womb is fairly narrow. So you could conceivably. It would be a very skilled task to do,
but you could
conceivably do it.
No limitations in terms of the... I mean, whatever.
Not necessarily, yeah. Okay. So the question is... The question is, Tiboyle Rabmeir or Tiboyle Rabbanan? Now, this question can be asked both according to Rabmeir and according to the Rabbanan. We're going to see it. The question is like this. We're going to see in the next Mishnah that Rabmeir holds that if you shecht a mother and you find an animal that has got a baby that's been through a full pregnancy, a full 9-month pregnancy, and is viable outside the womb, then actually the mayor holds that the shchita of the mother does not make that baby mortar. It would need its own shchita. So now the question is, you shechted it in the womb, tiboyu le mayor, you can ask according to the mayor whether it's valid or not, v'tiboyu le rabbanon, you can also ask according to the rabbanon, that if you had shechted the mother, they would say that this baby is still mortar, along with the mother. Like this, tiboyu le mayor, because like this, ad kan like ha'omer mayor ben p'kur ton shchita. You know when Reb Meir is saying that a ben p'kua, which is this case where you shechted a mother animal, found inside there a baby which in and of itself is viable because it's already a full 9-month baby, and Reb Meir is saying that requires its own shechita, hanimila hechad yotzalavar or olam. You could argue that only applies when it actually left the womb and came out into the world.
Obviously, because...
1 second. Maybe the mayor would hold that as long... In other words, the mayor would say like this. When it's in the womb, lo shavya lo shchita, shchita cannot be matured over there. It's not time to shecht it yet.
In the womb.
In the womb. So therefore, in other words, so actually it would come out, if we took that view, we would say that both Reb Meir and the Chachamim would say that that's not a valid shchita, because Reb Meir would hold that shchita inside the womb doesn't help. It has to be, the shchita has to be done after the baby is outside the womb, and the Chachamim would say also that it didn't need shchita while it's in the womb. Shchita is not relevant to it. So if we take that view, then it's not a good shchita. Oy Dilma, but on the other hand, we should argue, I feel a little Rabbanon. You could argue that even according to the Rabbanon, you could say that maybe it would be mutter if you shechted it in the womb, because you could say, in effect, Dalad Simonim Achsha Beirachmana. Maybe you could argue that when it comes to this baby in the womb, the Chachamim would say, that actually normally with an animal you have to shech two simonim in order to be maturity. You have to shech the windpipe and the esophagus. But here, in effect, what you have is four simonim, whichever two you shech, whichever pair of simonim you shech, then this baby will be mutter. If you shech the mother's two simonim, then she and the baby will be mutter. If you shech only the baby's simonim in the womb, then the baby is mutter. The Chachamim might hold that way. And Reb Meir, all the more so, Reb Meir, who says that the baby needs its own shchita, might even agree that it works even in the womb. So what would be the deal? Amar Rav Chananya.
So that's talking about when...
So the basic question is, can shchita be done while the baby is in the womb? If you say that shchita inside the womb is not valid, then it would mean, according to the mayor, it's no good because he says the baby has to come out and then it needs its own shchita. And then Rabbanon would say, no, as long as it's in, it doesn't need its own shchita, but that means that shchita is not that relevant to it in the womb.
But without shchita of the mother,
without shchita of the mother, we're talking just shchita of the baby, right? And then the other way you could look at it is maybe shchita in the womb is kosher, and the Rabbanon would say, therefore, you have your choice. You have two ways of being master of this baby, either by shechting it or by shechting the mother. And Reb Meir would say, okay, there's only the one way, by shechting the mother, but nevertheless, it could work in the womb as well. So what would be the din? Amar Rav Chananya, Toshma. Hareish Nolda Treifa Min Abedin. So we have a case at the, in our Mishnah, In our Mishnah, we went through the argument. We were trying to show how we know that shechting a tshreifa takes away the Torah Neveva from it. So in our Mishnah, we went through a discussion of it where we said, why should it be any different than a behemoth tmeya? So we said the difference is a behemoth tmeya had no shachar kosher. There was never a time when it could have been shechted, whereas this one did. And then the Mishnah continued, yeah, but what about if an animal is born tshreifa? It never had a shachar kosher, so why should shechita make it tahor? Not kosher, because you still can't eat it, but why should it make it tahor? And the reason is because he said yesh b'mina and ein b'mina, because at least it belongs to a species, it belongs to a category that's capable of being shechted. Okay, but now the question is, the e-issa, if you're going to tell me that you're able to shecht a baby in the womb, well then, what do you mean that the trefa that was born, what do you mean the congenital trefa had no shasa kosher? Mashkacha chod ha'isa la shasa kosher. You have a case where it did have a shasa kosher. In other words, because we assume not necessarily is a congenital trefa, we have to distinguish between congenital and happened in the womb, in utero. Not necessarily, because not you can congenital would be that it that would be that 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 genetically, you know, that there was some kind of mutation in it or whatever, and it had and it was something that made it straight. So call it then a difference between congenital and genetic, I'll say, whatever. The point is, in other words, that if our Mishnah is telling us that a congenital trefa, one that was trefa in the womb, never had a shasa kosher, according to one side of our question over here, it would have a shasa kosher, because conceivably you could reach into the womb and shecht it before it became a trefa. In other words, you could have a case where on Sunday you reach in and shecht it, and if you hadn't done that, then on Monday it would have developed a trefa in the womb, and then it would have been born, and then on Tuesday it would have been born.
Can you say a shasa kosher when you penetrate the womb?
Now, the shasa kosher just means that there was a time, even though this baby was born with a trefa, but nevertheless, there was a time before it had that trefa. So if you and you still would have been able to shecht it. If you're telling me you can shecht it in the womb, then yeah, you could have such a scenario. Because after all, he could reach in and shecht it over there. Amalei Rava, however, Rava says that's not a valid argument because Tani Shenoitzer Tshreifa Menabethin. Because the Mishnah is not necessarily talking about congenital, as in it developed without a Tshreifa and later on a Tshreifa developed. It could mean that genetically, that when it was formed in the womb, it already had the Tshreifa to begin with. Namely, for example, you can have an animal that was born with five legs. Well, there, it's not something that developed afterwards. There, from when it started developing, it already had that trait.
So that's from the womb.
So there, that's not only from the womb, it's more than from the womb. There was no shasa kosher at all because there was no time when it didn't have five legs from when it was viable. So therefore, so the Mishnah could be talking about such a case. Maybe the Mishnah is not addressing a case where it developed the trefa in the womb. Let's say it developed a hole in the lung or something. And now you're talking about, could you have shechted it before that versus after that? So the bottom line is we don't have an answer to our question, and therefore we have to be maximum misafik. So if you were to, so
check.
You can't check inside the womb, and if you did, then it would be teresh misafik.
Because we don't know.
Because we don't know what's a valid shita inside the womb.
Whether an animal was formed normally or not.
No. Because we don't know based on our question over here whether the shita of an unborn animal, if you do that shita inside the womb, whether that is considered a valid shita or not.
On the basis of
the question that we said, is it considered a valid shita only after the animal comes out of the womb? Before, while it's in the womb, shita is not relevant to it.
Okay.
Or is it not? Or is it that it could be shechted in the womb? Uh-huh. And since we're not sure, then we have to be machmir.
So what did he ask the question?
Rabbi Hoshi asked the question, just like we asked many questions in Shas. We tried to prove it, and we couldn't prove it, so that's it. Okay.
So
we're machmir, and therefore you don't check within the womb, and if you do the animals, it's trade in the stomach. Okay. Mishnah says, Hashoychat as a behema, person shechts the mother animal, umosaba ben shmoina chai emes, he finds in there a baby after an 8-month pregnancy, whether the baby is, and the same thing, by the way, with a smaller animal, a sheep or a goat, you'd have the same din after 4 months, because their pregnancies are 5 months. Anyway, so you find in there an 8-month baby, chai emes, whether that baby is alive or dead, doesn't matter, because again, we said even if it's born alive, it's considered dead already. Oy ben tisha mace, or you find in there a 9-month baby, a full-term baby, but it's dead. either way, kodo or motiyas dame, either way, you only have to whip it and take out its blood. In other words, it doesn't require shchita. Even well, because we're going to see the blood of it is also. Actually, we're going to discuss in the Gemara. But the blood of it is also, but the rest of it will be mutter. It won't need shchita, and even its chelim will be mutter. So the only thing you have to remove is the blood, and it doesn't need shchita. On the other hand, motza ben tishachai. Suppose you found in there an animal that a full term 9-month baby that was alive, so tone shchita, that baby requires its own shchita. V'chayav ba'osav esbno, give it a mayor. And Rameir says, first of all, that baby will require its own shchita, and second of all, it's considered a full fledged separate animal in the sense that now you have the din of osav esbno on it, which we're going to discuss in the next parak. That the Torah tells us you're not allowed to share a parent animal, a mother animal, zalacha, and a baby animal on the same day. So there you go. This baby would be included in that. You wouldn't be able to shecht it and its mother on the same day. Why is that? So Rashi explains that what it is once 9 months of pregnancy have passed, then already it's considered an independent animal. This that we learned earlier in the parak, why you're allowed to eat the unborn baby that you find in the womb, is on the basis of kol bebehemah, of kol bebehemah techelu, that anything that's in the animal you can eat. That would only apply, says Reb Meir, only if the full 9 months hadn't passed yet. But once the full 9 months passed, then it's considered a separate thing. The Rabbanan would say, therefore you have to shecht it. You have to shecht that animal separately. After it's taken out of the womb, you would have to shecht it. Whereas according to the Rabbanan, they would say that you need both. It needs to be full term, and it needs to actually be born in order for it to require separation.
Normally born?
Doesn't matter if normally born or by C-section. In this case, it's not normally born because you shechted the mother. But the point still remains. The Chachamim would say, Chadoshim v'leida garmi. It would require, says Rashi, that you need the full 9 months, plus also that it was born. Without that, when it's still in the womb, then it's still mutter to eat. And you have the Ramban argues with Rashi on that, and then has a bit of a different explanation of the machlokes. Anyway, so the mayor says that the baby is considered a full fledged separate creature, and therefore it needs shchita and is subject to oisav esbnoi. The chum say no. It's still the case that the shchita of the mother is metaharet. Therefore, it's not considered a separate entity. It never needs its own shchita. So therefore, again, you can rip it open. You can't eat the blood, but you don't need shchita. And oisav esbnoi wouldn't apply to it, because oisav esbnoi only applies when you're shechting a parent and child animal on the same day. And here it doesn't need shchita.
No.
Reb Shimon Shazuri says, even if this baby eventually grows up and it's 5 years old, which is very old for an animal, and it's plowing in the field, in other words, it looks like every other animal, nevertheless, the fact that 5 years ago you shechted its mother and found it in the womb is metaharet now, and now at any time you want, you can kill it, say you can kill it without shechita and eat it. The Gemara is going to ask later on what the Reb Shimon Shazuri seems to be saying exactly the same thing as the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said shchita same with the haritoi, or Reb Shimon Shazuri is adding is if it's 5 years old, but that there doesn't seem to be any chiddush in that. So that will the Gemara will deal with later on Ayin Hei Omid Beis what exactly Reb Shimon Shazuri is adding to the Tanakhama. Okay, Mishnah continues. Suppose now instead of shechting the mother, you ripped it open without shechting it, and you found there a 9-month baby that was alive. Then ton shchita. Then everybody will agree that baby requires shchita l'fishal nishchatu ima, because his mother was not shechted. And then the whole concept of being master of the baby of ben tkua is only when you shechted the mother. Actually, the Chassam Sofer wants to say that the kara over here means even more than that. It means even, let's say, you ripped open the womb such that the baby is exposed to the outside air, but nevertheless, the mother is not necessarily treifa from that. We learned in the previous perek that the womb is not one of the organs that are subject to treifa. So if you did that and then you shechted the mother, nevertheless, the Mishnah is still saying that the baby would need its own shchita, because once it was exposed to the outside world, then it's not considered to be called the behema, and therefore, yeah. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. Omer Rav Elaza, Omer Rav Oshia, lo hilchu boy el al iske shchita bovad. This unborn baby that you found in the womb, which the after a full term, which the Chachamim are saying it doesn't need shchita, they're only going in it to be, you actually said, to be mekel only when it regards, only in regards to shchita. But as regards Hilchubai, they only went in it, meaning Rashi says, to be Mekel, only regarding Shchita. Meaning regarding Shchita, the Chachamim are saying it doesn't require Shchita. But as far as other dinim that would apply to it, then it would be considered like a regular animal. That's according to Rashi. Rabbeinu Gershom learns the other way around. It means on the contrary. It means even Rabbi Meir, who's Machmir on this baby that was found alive after 9 months in the womb, that he's saying it requires shchita, that's the only thing he's being machmer on it, says Rabbeinu Gershom. Everything else he would be makel.
Okay, such as what?
That's what we're going to see. The ma'urti mai, so the question is, what is Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Oshia coming to exclude by that? What things are the chachamim going to be machmer on, or according to Rabbeinu Gershom, is Rabbi Meir going to be makel on? So the ma'urti chelboi v'gidoi. That means, as opposed to it's chelev and it's gid hanasha. Since it was found alive, after all, then therefore, and after 9 months, then therefore, it's chelev, not cholov, not milk. Chelev, the fact. Well, yeah, but a newly born baby is not going to have cholov. It's not going to have milk. And anyway, I mean, milk anyway. I mean, there's no reason the milk of it would be also. I mean, milk in general you have is that you would think, we've talked briefly about before, we'll learn more in Torah, Beis Hashem, you would think ought to be also as Eivim and Achai, but you have a pasuk in the Torah being master, there'd be no reason why this baby would be any different. But no, he was chelboi, which means it's chelev. So it's chelev, and it's gid anosha, the chachamim would say that those are still also in it. And of course, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, the other way around. Rabbi Meir would be mekel and say that the chelev and the gid anosha of it are mutter. If it was found alive, a nine-month baby that was found alive in the womb. So the question is, chelboi v'gidoi demai. The question is, chelboi demai. What chelev are we talking about that we're saying that is going to be also? If you're talking about ilay mechelba de shlil, do you mean the chelev of the unborn baby itself? What do you mean? Everybody agrees about it. Not everybody agrees. Miflag pligi. In fact, there's a machlokes about that. Netanya, gid hanosha noig b'shlil b'chelboi also divrei Rav Meir. We learn in a brisa that Rav Meir says that the gid hanosha is applicable to a shlil, to an unborn baby found in the womb, and it's chelav is also. So says Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Amar ain't a noig b'shlil b'chelboi mutter. The Amar of Allah's noig b'shlil and noig b'shlil doesn't apply to an unborn baby that was found in the womb, and so you would be allowed to eat its gid hanosha b'chelboi mutter, and you would be allowed to eat its chelav. The Amr of Allah, the Amr of Osh, your machloikis beben teschai, and Rashi takes out this line over here that we said, what do you mean, l'chelbe jamai, ilayme l'chelbe d'shlil, and then this thing about the gidah nosha and the chelev, Rashi takes that out. Rashi says it doesn't belong in our Gemara over here, and actually Rashi uses an interesting expression. Even though we find this line chelbe demai, even though we find it in all the manuscripts of Gemara that we have in our time, says Rashi, emes hadavar shu shibush. Nevertheless, Rashi says the fact of the matter is it's a mistake. V'lo yesh chacham asher yachivenu al kanan. And Rashi says there's no chacham who can possibly put it on a firm basis. Because what do you mean? Obviously, if we're asking it's chelev, what do you mean? What do you mean? Who is chelev? Obviously, the chelev of the shlil. So therefore, Rashi says what it is this piece of Gemara belongs later on. In Gid Hanosha, we have a similar discussion in another context over there. And then people who learned that Gemara and then were writing out this Gemara over here mistakenly copied it in.
Because the
Shlil has Chelev, but because the Gemara shouldn't have to be asking who is Chelev, could it possibly be the Chelev of the Shlil? And we're going to say no, it means the Chelev of the Gid. What is that discussing over here? Obviously, we mean the Chelev of the Shlil as a whole. So Rashi takes it out.
It cannot be the Chelev of the
Shlil. Well, in other words, there's no reason for the Gemara to be asking. If we're talking about a Shlil that was found in the womb, why are we even asking who? What are we even asking? What Chelev are we talking about? Okay, Tosfos says that I can find a way to transfer it, says Rabbeinu Tam, that You're thinking that maybe the question is, does chel by the shlil mean the other chelav, for example, the chelav of the kidneys or whatever, as opposed to the chelav around the gid? That's what I mean. In other words, chelav has two meanings. Chelav, first of all, earlier in the Masechta we pointed out, Rashi says, in Lashon Torah, the word chelav is used generically for fat in the body. Only in Lashon Chachamim do you have chelav, which is aser, versus shuman, which is mutter.
So the chelav, according to Chachamim, is aser where?
So you have certain ones that the Torah lists. Chelav shalach kloyes, yiseret hakav, not yiseret hakav, but chelav shalach kloyes, chelav shalach kfalim, whatever. Later on, in Gid Anosh, actually, we're going to get into more detail and then talk about what sheets of fat. We talked about it briefly in Perek Elotresis. We had a brief discussion about the abdominal fats that are also in that. Anyway, the point is, so you have those. Then on the other hand, you also have chelav that goes together with the Gid Anosh. So therefore, the Torah says that's what the Gemara is starting to think, that maybe what we mean is the chelav, as in the regular definition of chelav, the ones on the kidneys and on the stomachs or whatever, as opposed to the fat around the gid anasha. And then the Gemara is saying that no, and then the Gemara is asking on that and then going back and forth on that. Okay, so getting back to the Gemara. So are you going to say that, so when we say that Rabbi Elazar Amar Rav Oshi, it seems to be implying there's no machlokas about the chelev and about the gid, so what chelev? If you mean the chelev of the shlil, there is in fact a machlokas about it. Titanya, gid anosha noig v'shlil v'chel by also div Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that in this unborn baby, this unborn 9-month baby, the gid anosha is applicable to it, and its chelev is also, so says Rav Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Meina noig b'shlul b'chel b'mutter, and Rav Meir says that no, the gid anosha doesn't apply to it, and the chelev of it is mutter to eat. The Amar of Elazar Amar of Yoshia, and the same Rabbi Elazar Amar of Yoshia says machlokas ben tes chai. The machlokas is specifically when you have a baby that was born that grew for a 9-month pregnancy and then was found alive in the womb. And therefore, v'halach Rav Meir l'shitaseh v'Rav Yehuda l'shitaseh. So Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are going according to their respective svaris. In our Mishnah, Rav Meir says that it requires shchita, meaning that he considers it a full-fledged animal. Rav Yehuda, who is usually the one who is the chachamim in our Mishnah, usually Rav Yehuda is the one who argues with Rav Meir, he holds that this baby does not require shchita, therefore he would also hold that chelev and gid anasha don't apply to it either. In other words, that you're allowed to eat the chelev and you're allowed to eat the gid anasha.
When the baby has
been growing in the womb for 9 months, and then you shechted, the mother, and you found the baby in there still alive. So Rav Yehuda would say it doesn't require shechita, and you're allowed to eat its chelev, and you're allowed to eat its gid anasha. So what do you mean? There's no machlokes about that. El achel b'yugid. So do you mean that Rav Elazar wants to tell us that you should know there's no machlokes between them over the chelev of the gid? Again, the problem of that is miflag pligi. They do, in fact, argue about that chelev as well. You have the gid anosha, the sciatic nerve, has chelev surrounding it. And they do, in fact, argue about that. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, gid anosha mechatat achra b'chol makom shehu. When it comes to the gid anosha, you have to dig out for it wherever it is, and it spreads throughout the legs. You have a lot of digging out to do, which is, by the way, why nowadays you don't usually see hindquarters sold as kosher meat. And you have to cut off the fat of it from the root, in other words, all of it, even the fat that's embedded into the flesh around the gid anosha has to be removed. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says no, all you need to do is you just cut it off even with the surface. All you need to do is cut it even with the surface. In other words, what you have is, Rabbi Yehuda would say, the sciatic nerve, you have part of it is embedded in the muscles, and part of it runs over the surface of the muscles. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say, all you have to remove is the surface part. All you have to do is just cut it even with the level of the muscles, and then that's it. Whatever's inside the muscles, Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about. Right.
Rabbi Meir would.
So we see that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are arguing about the chelev of gid anosha. No, rather, this statement that Rabbi Elazar said, if there was a statement said, this was what was actually said. What he said was actually as follows. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Oshia, lo hilchu bo elal iske achila bilbad. This that we're saying in the Mishnah, that the Chachamim are machmir, that Rabbi Chama Mekel, and Rabbi Hoda is machmir, Rabbi Meir is machmir on the unborn baby, only refers to things that have to do with eating.
Iske achila
means anything that has to do with eating. So before we said our iskei shchita, and that led us to the question, what about the chaylev and the gidanoshim? Now that we're changing it, it's not iskei shchita, but rather iskei achila. True, so that it means, okay, so the same machloikus that exists as far as the animal itself, as far as the baby itself, the same machloikus exists as far as its chaylev, the same machloikus exists as far as gidanoshim, but as opposed to other areas of halacha that don't involve eating, that those are excluded. And what are they?
Excluded from the machloek,
that's right. Well, excluded from, in other words, that they, according to Rashi, it means the Chachamim will be machmir on those, that even though this baby is not considered a regular animal insofar as the dinim of achila, you don't need to shecht it, you're allowed to eat its chelov, you're allowed to eat its gidanosha, and Rameyer holds that it is, but nevertheless, they would both agree, as far as the next two dinim, that we're going to say that it is considered a full-fledged animal as far as those. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, the other way around, we'd be saying we'd be makel on those two. Okay, and they are, first of all, it excludes the case of roivoy. If a person were to commit bestiality with this animal, he'd still be chayev skila, just as much as if it was a regular born animal. Or, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, the other way around, whatever. And the second one is v'choreshboy, also as far as the din, that you're not allowed to have two different animals of different species do work together, such as plowing. Again, for that purpose, this is considered just as much a regular animal as any other. So if it's an ox, for example, and you were to yoke it together with a donkey and have them plow together, then you'd be chayav malchus.
So that's what we're saying.
Even though this is not considered a regular shur as far as the dinim of shchita or gidan nosha or chela, nevertheless, it's the same as far as revia and as far as charisha.
Okay.
So therefore, in other words, so that if it together with another species would be kalayim. Yeah. And again, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, the other way around. Okay. Fine. Amar of Shimon Lakish. Okay, so now let's talk about, so we said that there's machloikas regarding this unborn baby, this shlil, we said there's machloikas whether you're allowed to eat its chelov. We said that Reb Meir, who holds you have to shecht it, would say the chelov of it is also just like a regular animal, and Reb Yehuda, who says, the Chachamim, who say that you don't have to shecht it, would say you're allowed to eat the chelov. Amar of Shimon Lakish, l'divrei ha-mater b'chelvei mater b'domoi, the opinion that says that you're allowed to eat its chelov would also say that you're allowed to eat its blood. Whereas your mayor, who says that you can't eat the chelov of this animal, would also say you can't eat its blood. But Rabbi Yechanan says, no, even the opinion that says that the chelov is mutter would still say that the blood is also right. Okay, Rabbi Yechanan and Rosh Lakish. So Rabbi Yechanan says to Rosh Lakish, what are you telling me that the Chachamim would say you're allowed to eat the blood? We said in the Mishnah, Kodo Moitzi Es Domo, you have to rip it open and take out its blood. So therefore, it means you're not allowed to eat the blood. So what are you telling me? According to one opinion, you're allowed to. And by the way, a reason why to distinguish between chaylev and blood, there's a couple of reasons given by the Rishonim. One of them is that chaylev, you only have, there's only chaylev in certain defined areas of the body, is also. So therefore, the chaylev, given that this unborn baby is not really considered a separate baby of its own, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's why he doesn't need shchita. Therefore, he would say the chaylev of it is not in the regular places where you would wear chaylev would be also.
Because it's like
one particular limb of the mother, and that particular limb doesn't have an isur chelev on it.
The chelev is considered like the limb.
The chelev of the mother, only the chelev in certain places, on the kidneys, on the stomachs, etc., is also.
Okay.
The chelev of the baby is not in any of those places on the mother.
Okay.
Therefore, that's one reason to be master. Whereas blood circulates throughout the whole body.
But you could say the chelev of the baby is chelev.
No, but that we're saying the baby is not considered a separate entity of its own because that's why it doesn't need shchita.
Part of the mother.
It's part of the mother, and therefore only the chelev in the appropriate places of the mother. Whereas blood circulates between the mother and the baby. That's one reason that Rishonim give to distinguish between them. What do you mean it doesn't? There's the placenta in between them, but yeah, there is blood exchange. No, but it's still, you have a certain, there is a certain exchange between them. So, you know. Okay, but enough, you have substances in the blood, whatever passes through. Okay, whatever, fine. So that's still enough to say that the blood should be answered. Okay. So anyway, so we said in the Mishnah, Kodo Yomoti Es Domo. You can rip open the baby because you don't need shchita, but you have to take out the blood. So what are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda would say the blood is mutter? The answer is Amar Rav Zeira Lo Mishein Onus Shikaris. Right. The Mishnah doesn't mean that. The Mishnah, when Rish Lakish says that the blood is mutter, it doesn't mean completely mutter. It just means that if a person were to eat that blood, he wouldn't be chayav karis.
But he's not allowed.
But he's not allowed.
Why it wouldn't be a karis?
Because it's not considered it's not considered the blood of the mother. It's, again, we're talking about a separate entity over here. Okay. By the way, another reason that Rishonim give, another reason to make a distinction, is because we said before iske achila. So blood is not eating; it's drinking. So you could argue that there's a difference.
Well,
no, but it's not really. You don't eat it; you drink it. But
put it in your mouth.
Fine, but that's okay. But nevertheless, achila and shtiya are two different things. Anyway. Yeah, okay. All right. So the question is, well, man kamri, yeah, but which opinion are we talking about over here? Little Rabbi Yehuda. After all, we're talking within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion.
Yeah.
Well, why should this blood not be chayav karis according to Rabbi Yehuda? Lo yehet, granted it's not dam hanefesh, let's say, because, again, dam hanefesh, the blood that contains the animal's life force, the main gush of blood, this isn't, because, again, this animal doesn't even require shechita. However, fine, even if you only consider it like the blood that oozes out afterwards, later on, after the shechita. Now, the Chachamim hold that a person's not chayav karis for eating that blood, it's true, but Rabbi Yehuda does. The Tanya, as we learn in a brach, Dama Tamsis, he considers it blood as far as chayav karis. The Tanya, Dama Tamsis Ba'azhara, as we learn in a Braisa, Dama Tamsis, if a person eats it, he's only over on a lab, he would get Malkus, but he wouldn't be Chayav Karis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Behi Karis. Rabbi Yehuda says that he would get Karis. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Tamsis is, for that purpose, full-fledged blood. So in that case, why would we be saying that the blood of this shlil would be only a lab and not Chayav Karis? According to him, it should be no worse than Dama Tamsis. The answer is Tirgmer of Yosef Breder of Salah Chassid of Hareder of Papa, because it's like this: Islay Rabbi Yehuda Dom V'Chol Dom. Because Rabbi Yehuda says like this: when you have a pasuk that says V'Chol Dom Loy Soichu, that's where does Rabbi Yehuda learn the whole concept of Dama Kamsis being Chayev Karis? He learns it because you have the pasuk that says V'Chol Dom Loy Soichu, and said V'Chol Dom includes Dama Kamsis as well. So he's saying you have dom, the regular blood, dama nefesh, and you have a chol dom, which includes dama tamsis. Well, therefore,
chol dom is different than dom.
In other words, you have the pasuk could have just said dom, and that would mean dama nefesh. Instead, it says v'chol dom, which comes to include dama tamsis
and
dama tamsis. Right. However, what does that mean? It means that there's a hekesh between them. Kol hecha de mechayev adam hanefesh. Any case where a person were to eat or drink whatever the dam hanefesh of an animal, any case where he would be chayev karis for that, mechayev adam hatamsis. Then Rabbi Yehuda would say, yeah, the dam hatamsis is compared to that also, and he'd be chayev karis for it also. V'chol hecha de mechayev adam hanefesh. But in our case over here, he's not chayev for the dam hanefesh. The shlil does not have dam hanefesh because, again, it doesn't require shechita according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's considered like a limb of the mother, and therefore the mother has her own dama nefesh, but the baby doesn't. Therefore, let me chayev adama tamsis. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, yes, we'll say, says Rish Lakish, that the blood of it will only be considered dama tamsis and will not be the kind that gets him karis. Because even the dama nefesh of this baby animal wouldn't have gotten him karis.
There is no
dama nefesh, therefore the dama tamsis doesn't have the same status as dama tamsis from a regular animal. Exactly. So that would be Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore we would say that it's also, but it's not chayav karis. Okay. Now we have another question. This that we're talking about. So we said you find this animal alive inside the womb. We're saying according to Rabbi Yehuda you don't need to shecht it, and according to the mayor you do. But now we have another question. We know the Torah tells us that Petra Chamor Tifteh Vaseh, we say it every day in Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, that when you have a firstborn donkey, or firstborn male donkey, you have to redeem it with a sheep. You take a sheep and give it to the Kohen. The sheep itself is considered Chulin. The Kohen can do whatever he wants with it. And then you're allowed to use the donkey. You have a firstborn donkey. You take a sheep of your own and give it to the Kohen. That's the Pidyon Petra Chamor. And then you're allowed to use a donkey. If not, then you have to decapitate it. We'll learn about it in Bechoros, says the Shem, in a couple of months. Anyway, the point is, the Torah tells us you have to redeem using a seh, using a sheep. So the question is, if you have this baby that was found alive in the womb, so suppose that baby was a sheep, would you be allowed to use it for pidyon petah chamer?
If you
shechted a mother sheep, you found in the womb a baby sheep that went through a full term pregnancy. In the case of sheep, it's 5 months actually, and 5 months in the case of sheep. Yeah. And you took it out of there. You took it out of the womb, and according to the mayor, it does not require. According to the mayor, it requires shechita, and according to the Yehuda, it does not. Can you use that baby later on? Can you use it for pidyon petah chamer? Now, Rashi points out, by the way, technically you can use anything for pidyon petah chamer as long as it's worth at least as much as the donkey. So if the sheep is worth at least as much as the donkey, then there's no question. The question would be, this that the Torah tells you can, that you should redeem with a sheep means even if the sheep is worth much less than the donkey, then you can use that.
But so you can use your goat?
No, only a sheep.
Well, you said you can use anything.
Okay, again, if it's worth as much or more, then you can use anything. You can use any shava kesef.
Right.
But if you're talking about if it's worth less, then you have to adapt to use a sheep.
A sheep.
Yeah.
Then
you can use anything. So the question is, if this sheep is worth much less than the donkey, can you use it for pidyon petah chamer? So the question is like this. Aliba did a mayor loyti barloch. If you're asking within Reb Meir's opinion, then there's no question. Bekimin de amaton shchita. Since Reb Meir is saying in our Mishnah that this baby requires its own shchita, obviously according to him, seh mal yehu, it's a 100% full-fledged seh sheep, and therefore sure it has the din of any other sheep, so you can be poted with it.
It's how old is it again?
It was born after a 5 month pregnancy. At the point, it doesn't matter how old it is. It was born after a 5 month pregnancy. And ki barloch aliba did a bar. The question rather would be according to the Rabbanan of our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. They say that the shechita of the mother is metahar this baby, and now you're allowed to shech, and now you don't even need to shecht it. You can kill it in any way that you want and eat it. So, now what would be the din? Does it have the din of a seh regarding petah chamer? On the one hand, kibben da'amri shechita simim metaharchay, since the chachamim are saying that the shechita of the mother makes it mutter to eat, then effectively, kibisra b'dikolahu, then effectively it's the equivalent it's the equivalent now of meat that's already shechted and put into a basket.
Except that it's alive.
But it's maybe physically alive, but as far as halacha is concerned, it's considered dead because it doesn't require shechita.
Yeah.
Oy doma, but on the other hand, maybe not. Because the fact of the matter is, biologically it is alive, kibben d'roit v'ozo v'roit v'o. See, since it runs this way and runs, since it's able to run and go and run and come back, it's physically alive, seh karirame. Maybe it can be called a seh. So what is the difference?
You could technically eat it,
According to the Chachamim, according to the Yehuda, yeah, you could whack its head off and eat it. You could, it could become roadkill and you could eat it, whatever. It doesn't need shechita. So is it considered as if it's already shechted or not? So Mazutra says you can't use it for pidyon, petah chamer, and Rav Ashi says you can. Because those are the two sides. Mazutra says you can't because he considers it already shechted. Rav Ashi says you can. Rav Ashi says to Mazutra, my daita, why are you thinking that you can't do pidyon petah chamer with it? Evidently, the gamrit says that. Evidently, the reason must be because you're learning by Zera Shava from the Korban Pesach. Now, the Korban Pesach cannot be a bent kua because an animal, to be a Korban, has to have been born naturally. If it was born by C-section or by otherwise an unnatural birth, then it's possible for a Korban. So we learned this in Zvachim. We learned this over the Yonah Masechta. So a bent kua you couldn't use as a Korban Pesach, because it wasn't born naturally, because obviously it came out of the womb after the mother was shechted. Yeah, it was C-section or whatever, yeah. So you, Mazutra, apparently are learning by Zeta Shalva from Pesach, that just like the Korban Pesach has to be a seh, and it can't be one born by C-section, so also you're going to tell me the one for Petra Chamer has to be the same thing. Not Petra Rechem, but Petra Chamer, yeah.
Okay.
So the problem is, if you're going to learn that way, then you should have to say Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on that last point. The problem, if we say we learn from the Korban Pesach, the problem wouldn't necessarily be that because it was born by C-section, because we said before the mayor would say you could be poted with it. In other words, obviously, in that sense, we're not learning it from the Korban Pesach, because yeah, that's the Korban Pesach. You couldn't use it as a Korban Pesach, but yet the mayor is saying that you can use it for the Gemara is telling us that the mayor would say you could use it for pidyon petah chamer. So obviously, to that extent, we're not comparing them.
So once again, so for the Korban Pesach, it would matter, but not...
No, for the Korban Pesach, it would matter, because it can't be born by
C-section.
It would matter. But for Pidyon Petah Chamer, if one's Rav Meir, we would say it doesn't matter.
But
because he would say that we're not comparing them to that extent. But the point is, choice instead. Rather, the reason would be, again, because, as we just argued, maybe this sheep is considered as though it's already shechted, given that it doesn't require shechita, and the Kohen Pesach can't very well be an animal that's already shechted. You have to bring it to the Azara and shecht it over there. So that would be a reason to compare them. Anyway, so says Rav Ashi, if you're going to learn from the Kohen Pesach, then maybe you should argue like this. By the Kohen Pesach, it has to be a male animal, it has to be unblemished, without any mumim, it has to be within a year old. Are you going to tell me that the sheep for Pinyan Petach Hamor also has to be a Zohar of Tumim and Ben Shana? Obviously not. So if you're not comparing it as far as that, why should you think to compare it as far as whether it was born by C-section?
Obviously not.
Because the fact is, we know that there's no such din that the sheep for pidyon petach hamor has to be a zohar tamim ben shana. It can be a female. It can be however old, and it can have a mum. So obviously, you're not comparing it to the korban pesach to that extent. So why are you thinking to compare it to the korban pesach as far as this? The answer is fine. Tifte riba. Fine, but you have a few times in the pasuk where it says that you should redeem it. So that makes it riboy that whatever you're redeeming it with is still valid. Okay, well, tifte riba, people call milinami. Okay, well, then you should say that it includes everything. So why are you excluding this case because it's not like the seh of the korban pesach? You would say, fine, but in case, seh, ayahanilach. The fact of the matter is, we have a zeta shava, seh, we were learning something about it from the korban pesach. If you're going to tell me that anything that is kosher, not only if it's a female and not a male, not only if it's a bal mum and not a tum, etc., but also even if it's a ben pekua as opposed to the korban pesach that you can't be, then what are you doing with the gzeirah shavah? Seh, and you're not learning anything from the korban pesach. You have to learn something.
Yes, you say it. Yeah. Everything has to be the same.
No, that's the point. So the gzeirah shavah tells us that
something has to be the same. And if he's saying that everything has to be the same, gzeirah shavah doesn't.
No. If you said that everything has to be the same, then you wouldn't need tifte. Then you wouldn't have the riboy of tifte. Again, you have a riboy of tifte, which implies that any kind of sheep is allowed. On the other hand, we have a gzeirah shavah said that it has to be somehow similar to the korban pesach. So the Marzutra says, by putting those two together, we arrive at that it has to be somehow similar to the korban pesach, but it doesn't have to be completely similar. So it can be a female, it can be a bal mum, etc., but it can't be a yotze dofen. It can't be, or according to Tosfos, it can't be a shchuta.
So tifte means some of it has to be like the korban pesach.
Tifte would mean it doesn't have to be like the korban pesach at all. Any kind of sheep, tifte, you can
any
redeem.
Any kind of sheep.
Seh would tell us it has to be like the korban pesach.
Okay.
So Mazdra says, both. Therefore you say therefore, since you have both, then it means some like it and some not. Right. Okay. You have Machlokas Rishonim, which eventually comes into Shulchan Aruch, who the halacha is like. Is the halacha like Rav Ashi, or is the halacha like Mazutra? So the Mechaber passing like the Rambam and the Mechaber passing like Rav Ashi, and then Allah brings their opinions that say the halacha is like Mazutra, and therefore you shouldn't be partying with it.
So we follow one way, and it's not in
place. It's not like it's that often that there's a pidyon Petach Hamor anyway, and Ben Pekuras are not exactly that common on the ground either. But if it were the case, yeah, the Rambam, if an Ashkenazi was doing a pidyon Petach Hamor, and he had a bent core available, that Amor would say he can't do it unless the sheep is actually worth more than the donkey. Because if it was, then it's mutter anyway. Okay. Fine. Okay. Idbo, now we have another question. This baby that you found alive in the womb. So we're saying according to the Chachamim, it doesn't need shchita. So the question is, what happens now? So you get shechted with the mother. Now the mother is able to be makabel tuma because it's food. She's not alive anymore. So now the question is, suppose that she does become Tomei. Let's say, for example, a dead sheretz, let's say, touches the mother. So now she becomes a rish. Now her flesh becomes a rish in the Tumah. Mahu limnes by rish and rishani. Now do we start counting? Do we say that the baby is considered a separate entity, and therefore the baby now would be a sheni the Tumah? Because the mother is shechted.
Yeah,
the baby is still alive, but the baby, even being alive, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, is already considered food because it doesn't require shechita.
Right.
Is that baby, could it be a sheni latruma, having touched the mother, or would we say actually that it's still considered, that it's actually considered part of the mother to the extent that it would be the same rishon latruma? That's the question.
Is the baby a
rishon or a sheni? Rabbi Yochanan and I'm anointed by rishon or sheni. Rabbi Yochanan says you do count it, so therefore the mother is a rishon, the baby is a sheni. And Rish Lakish says, no, the baby is a Rishon just like the mother. So they're both Rishon. What it is, Nasa ke'ego is hamaskashish b'kli pasay. Because Rish Lakish says, in effect, this baby is the equivalent of like a nut that's shaking around in its shell. So if you have, in other words, if you have, let's say, a walnut or some other kind of nut where the meat of the nut is loose inside the shell and it knocks around in there when you shake it, nevertheless, if tumah touches the outside of the shell, the nut will become tameh. We're not going to say the shell is a risha and the nut meat is a sheni. Yes, because it's called a shomer. We're going to learn about it in the... If it doesn't move, well, if it doesn't move, then there's no chiddush in it. But even if it's moving, you would think it's considered something separate. Nevertheless, the shell is still considered a shomer, which we're going to talk about in Ha'ovah Rotev later on in the chapter. The point being, over here, the same thing. The mother animal is the shomer. Therefore, the Shlokish says there's no reason to count them separately. Actually,
what's the comparison?
The comparison is exactly that. Because the nut meat is protected by the shell. The baby animal is protected by the mother. Yeah. Mind you, actually, I mean, I shouldn't say as a blanket statement we're talking about where the baby is alive. Rashi learns that way, but you have a number of Rishonim who talk about various possibilities. Are we talking about maybe only when the baby is dead? Are we talking about it doesn't matter whether it's alive or dead? Whatever. Okay. Fine. I have a contradiction to you. You're telling me that the baby is considered something separate from the mother, and therefore the mother is a Rishon Latoma and the baby is now a Sheni. But we learned a couple of Mishnayos ago that if you cut off the limb of the baby that was sticking out after the Shechita, we said, Abosam Magan Avela Divir Ameir V'chamim Magatrei V'shchuta. We said, both Rameir and the Chachamim over there agreed that the limb transmits some kind of Toma to the baby, that it's argued to what degree.
What contradiction?
The contradiction is like this. Bishleim l'didi damin achad gufahu. According to me, that I say the baby and the mother are all considered one big guf. Well, the question is like this. The question is like this. How did this baby become mukshul lekabel tumah? In order for something to be tameh, it has to be food, but it also has to become wet with one of the shiva mashkin.
Right.
Where did the baby become wet with one of the shiva mashkin? The mother, yes. The mother, yes. Blood came out of the mother when she was shechted, but no blood came out of the baby, and there's no other liquids in there necessarily. You have the amniotic fluid,
right.
Fine, but that's not necessarily considered water, la halacha. I don't know, but whatever it is, it's not necessarily, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so the question is, so the baby,
right.
The baby became mukshal lekabel tumah because when the mother's blood came out, then that was mukshal the mother lekabel tumah, and the baby is part of the mother, therefore she's also mukshal lekabel tumah.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, well, el lidach, but according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, b'mayim kasher, how did this baby ever become mukshal lekabel tumah that you should say that the limb touching it transmits some kind of tumah to it? According to me, there's no problem because the baby is considered part of the mother. So if the mother was mukshal lekabel tumah, so is the baby automatically. But you're saying they're two separate things. So how is the baby mukshal lekabel tumah?
By touching?
No, because that's not mukshal lekabel tumah means that it got wet with one of the shiva mashkin. Amalei, so he answers in b'shchita ukur of shiva. Fine, but that Mishnah is talking about, it's saying that the mother and the baby became mukshal lekabel tumah from the shchita alone, and that would be according to Reb Shimon. We learned earlier in our Masechta, in the second parak, that Reb Shimon said if you shechted an animal, even if no blood came out, the very fact that now it became usable as food makes it mukshal lekabel tumah. Well, very well, the same thing would apply over here. The baby is usable as food now, because it doesn't require shchita, automatically, therefore it's mukshal lekabel tumah. So that would be only according to Reb Shimon. The Chachamim, who disagree with Reb Shimon would disagree with that Mishnah. They would say that there's no tumah goes from the limb to the baby at all. Well, but they would say, in other words, that the limb itself is tameh, fine, in some degree, but it's not machshir. It doesn't transmit tumah to the baby because the baby is not yet mukshal lekabel tumah.
There's no blood on it.
Right. Okay, now the other way around. Reb Yochanan and Reb Shimon Lakish. So Reb Yochanan says, I have a contradiction to you, Rish Lakish, that you're telling me that they're considered all one thing. We have a braisa that says, Aga Benahar, suppose you have, again, this baby that was born after a nine-month, not born, that was found in the womb after a nine-month pregnancy, a Benkor. When that baby becomes older, Aga Benahar, if it walks through a river, Hukshar, at that point is when it becomes Mukshar Lekabel Tumah, because it became wet.
The animal,
and now if that animal, this baby animal, which now grew up, if it went into a Beis HaKvaris, then it became tummy. Usually live animals can't become tummy, but this is an exception, because it's already considered as if it was shechted, then it's not considered as though it's not alive anymore.
Uh-huh.
That's the point. We're actually
a normal animal
wouldn't be mashed. Yeah. we're actually going to talk about later in the Gemara, later on Daf Ayin Hey, which we'll get to tomorrow night, to Bez Hashem. We'll talk about, there may be some other rare cases of live animals that can become tummy. Normally not, though, but yeah. But in this case, yeah, so we're saying, it's once it's Mokshel Kabel Truma, let's say by walking through a river, so now, not Shechted, doesn't need to be Shechted. Now it's Mokshel Kabel Truma, now it's food that became wet. If now this animal walks into a Beis HaKvardos and became tummy. So, says Rish Lakish, Bishlem Lididi, so it's good.
A normal animal
that walks through a river is now wet, but it walks into a Beis HaKvardos, nothing happens. It's alive. It's not Makabal Tumah. In our case, the Ben Tkua, it's able to be eaten without Shchita, that it was found alive in the womb, when it doesn't need Shchita. Yeah, it doesn't need Shchita. So therefore, it's considered as though it's dead already. So therefore, it's like any other food. It's going to be Mokshel Makabal Tumah, and now it becomes tummy. So Bishlema Lididi Daminatre Gufininu, so it's the Rish Lakish says, according to me, that I say there's two separate guf from the mother and the baby, Mishum Hochi Hoksha Ein Loi Hokshaloi. That's why it needs to walk through the river, otherwise not Mukshala Kabal Chuma. Ella Lididach the Amit Chad Gufu, you Rabbi Yochanan are saying that the mother and the baby are considered one group. You said before, and so therefore Horiskasha Bedama Deime Bishita. Horiskasha Bedama Deime. Didn't it become Mukshala Kabal Chuma through its mother's blood? Through its mother's blood. When blood came out during the Shchita. And the answer is, B'shchiti Yavesh, the Leiter of Shimon. Fine. You know what? This last Braisa would be talking about where there was no blood came out during the Shchita, and therefore, so Rav Shimon would hold Mokshel Kabal Truma anyway. B'shchiti Yavesh, dry Shchita, no blood came out. Rav Shimon would hold Mokshel Kabal Truma anyway. The Chachamim disagree with Rav Shimon. Good. Well, then according to them, there's no Hechshel Kabal Truma yet. So the first time this baby becomes Mokshel Kabal Truma is when it crossed the river.
Right.
Okay. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, analyzing this point.